Welcome to the Families at Grace podcast, where we seek to equip and encourage parents as they apply the gospel in their homes.
All right. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Families at Grace podcast. I'm Josh.
And this is Jason.
And this is our second episode that we've done since the
quarantine hit.
The quarantine.
We are in the same room this time. So
we
are better.
We are practicing social distancing.
We're an appropriate distance away from each other.
We're over six feet apart from each other. But much better than trying to do a podcast on a Zoom call.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, I mean, basically, it's been about 5 weeks, maybe 6 weeks since the last time we did a podcast.
April 1st was the last time it released. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's been a little while, and things are, I don't know, things are looking promising. Things are looking hopeful.
Starting to reopen.
That's right. Yeah. There's some reopening. I picked up some Starbucks this morning and passed by some establishments that seem to have some people inside, albeit 50% of their capacity and things like that. Yep. So it's interesting.
Somewhat the new normal. Everybody's trying to figure out what that's going to be.
That's right.
So yeah, it's interesting time to be alive.
That's right. And I'm sure you're feeling exactly the same way. We've both been working from home this whole time and are still. We're just here to do the podcast. And so I'm sure that life is different for everybody listening, even if you are starting to get back to work or do some things like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's affected, you know, youth group and Sunday school and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. You were going to talk about Sunday school content, I think.
Yeah, I was just going to remind parents that each week when the Sunday morning content is sent out with the video for worship, that we have a Sunday school content page for all of our students. You can go to that page, and some of the classes have videos of their Sunday school teachers teaching the lessons, and review pages, that PDFs that you can download and look at and talk through with your students, so that they can keep on track with our Sunday school content.
Yes, and for youth group, we're recording this on Wednesday, so this is the last night for D groups. And we're still working on the plan for the summer. Mm-hmm. We're definitely going to take the 20th off, so there won't be any youth activities on the 20th.
Yep.
4:12 and 31:30 are having their last night this coming Sunday night. And then they'll be meeting small groups during the summer on their own student-led stuff. We may do like a family game night on the 27th, still working on that. And then we're trying to see what the phases might allow us to do. Mm-hmm. And so it may be that we do like an online thing on Wednesday nights, but if there are ways for us to have some good face-to-face time with a small number of students, whether it's just middle school students or just high school or on different nights or things. So we're just trying to, as we get to see like whether the next phase opens up, we'll have a better plan. But we will start having some kind of Wednesday night thing, whether it's online or in person in some form, at the beginning of June. And that way we'll keep moving on, and we'll try to communicate that as far out as possible. But we're just trying to, it's very tentative right now. That's the thing, right?
The unknowns.
That's right. That's right. And oh, the unknowns. Yes. Okay. Well, the things that we wanted to talk mainly today is that your kids are probably, and you really, all of us are likely experiencing like an array of emotions right now. And so, you know, already before this thing, you know, anxiety and things like that are already kind of like markers of these younger generations.
That's right.
But let's just talk for a moment about different kinds of things that students may be experiencing. One would be anxiety.
Yeah, so all of those unknowns bring up anxiety for, I know, for us as adults. So the same is true for our teenagers and our younger folks, our younger kids as well, as their routine has been changed drastically, and they don't know when they get back to normal, what the new normal will be. So there's a lot of the unknown that creates anxiety. And they don't know what to expect. You know, a lot of routine changes affect kids' stability and they're used to those kind of schedules to keep them on track, and all of that's been kind of thrown out the window. So it's not an unexpected thing for folks to be experiencing anxiety. And even grief about things that they, opportunities that have been lost. I know we talked about our seniors. I have one of those in my house, and so this has not been the end of school that they had anticipated. So what are some other things that kids are grieving during this time?
You know, I think probably the biggest ones that I would say right now would be, like, the seniors have so many things that they are losing. We do Senior Sunday, which is like a once a month thing, and so we've been meeting with them online, and that first one was like, we're not going to have prom, I'm missing out on my final sports season. Anxiety on that, so that's grief. Prom, graduation, saying goodbye to friends, all these things. Also, the anxiety thing, like, what is my freshman year of college going to be like? Am I going to get a freshman year of college? Is it just going to be an online thing where it's more of the same thing, where I feel isolated into the next year? So there's lots of unknowns. You know, before they had made solid decisions on what students, you know, how it's going to affect, like Metro, for example, like on how it's going to affect grades and things. They just now released what their final plan is for that. So kids are going to graduate. Kids are going to advance into the next grade. So that's good. But they didn't know that for a while, so that was difficult. And so all that's tough. I know that, like, one of my kids, we were praying this morning as a family, and he, you know, he's younger, and he just expressed, like, he said, God, it's been a hard year. This has been a hard year for me. I really miss my friends. And that grief, maybe anger sometimes.
Frustration,
over just being isolated. Like right before this started, it was like, hey, you're going to have your first stay the night. That has not happened. He's been so excited. He was so excited when we told him. And no joke, it was like the next week, practically, that this all happened. So he hasn't been able to do that. He's been very sad about it.
And being able to, you know, we talk about staying connected through technology, but I think this is one of the things that this has taught us, is that it does not replace in-person relationship. And so even though you can see people, you know, across the world, you know, last week we were talking to somebody on the phone, with a video on the phone with somebody who was halfway around the world, which is amazing, but it does not replace the being able to be in person, face to face with other folks. So it's understandable that our kids are frustrated and angry about not being able to see their friends or hang out with friends. So I think to look on the positive side, this has helped us realize, I think, the importance of real relationships, and the importance of investing in one another.
For sure.
those friendships. So,
well, let's just talk for a minute about how parents can help their kids process this stuff, or how they can identify these kinds of things in their kids. And a little bit maybe on how to process it for themselves if they're experiencing that too.
Yes, I think you have to be honest about what they're feeling. Help them to be honest. It's going to take some time for them to figure out, you know, especially younger kids are going to respond differently as a result of their feelings, and maybe not be able to tell you, you know, the outburst of anger may not be about the thing you're even talking about. It may be just frustration with the, the new season that they've been in. So, but be honest about, help your kids be honest about their feelings. If they're angry, if they're upset, if they're grieving something, give them space to grieve.
I think acknowledging the validity of their feelings too, you know, like giving them the space. Like I am a fix it person. So like this happens with me and Laura all the time too. It's like she will express the way she feels about something. And my immediate knee jerk reaction is to give her some reason to not feel that way anymore. And that is like not validating her feelings at all. It's basically saying, you're wrong to feel this way.
Don't feel that way.
Let me prove
this
to
is
you.
What we'll do it.
Prove to you why you shouldn't feel that.
Okay, it's good to hear that you're normal.
That's right.
Have communication issues as well. So yeah. That's so right. being honest and giving space to feel what you feel. Now there you may have to process it. You know, if there's be angry and do not sin. Is the commandment from scripture. So we can express those feelings and then move into, you know, after we've had time to talk about them,
That's right.
Move into a godly response to those. So we don't want that anger to lead us to, you know, being mean to siblings or disrespectful to parents or things like that. But we do have to be honest about it.
Now, how about, okay, so here's one that I imagine as I interact with people. Sometimes you have a parent that's really anxious and kids that are a little more laid back.
Yeah.
So how would you express that?
Yeah, so don't assume that your child is anxious or fearful. Yeah. You know, a lot of kids are currently very happy that school was out in March and are enjoying more time at home and more time to run around outside. So don't assume that your kids are fearful or are even thinking about the unknowns that are coming in the future. That's most of them, your younger kids don't have any grasp of what could possibly be coming in the future anyway. So don't assume that your child is feeling what you're feeling. Don't project that onto them. Ask them how they're feeling and let them tell you. They may be happy and content in this quarantine season where you may be fearful and anxious. So don't assume that your child is feeling how you're feeling.
Yeah. And I think maybe on top of this, at least one thing we tell our D group leaders is don't overshare your own feelings about it.
Right.
Because you could, I mean, you know, there's always the difficult, like, are we honest with our kids about where things are and what's going on in the world? Or do we completely hide it from them? Yeah. And there's certainly a balance. And some of that depends on the age of your child. Mm-hmm. Like, you shouldn't like try to hide them from the fact that there's a pandemic.
Right.
You have to explain why we're being careful and why we're not seeing people. Mm-hmm. At the same time, you know, listing all of the people in your life that could die if you don't wash your hands every 5 seconds, that could create
anxiety. Right? Yes.
And if you're dealing with lots of anxiety about it, you don't want to create unnecessary anxiety in them by oversharing. Mm-hmm. So, but there are things that you can share. Mm-hmm. You can share what's going on in your life that God is teaching you.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Your kids aren't your accountability partner, but they're also people that you're discipling. And so sharing what God is teaching you in the midst of this season is wonderful, because it shows them that scripture applies to every situation in life, and that God is still in charge. He's still sovereign, even though none of us could have predicted this. He knows what's going on. And that our trust is not in everything being smooth and easy and comfortable in life. Our trust is in what Christ has done for us on the cross. You know, as Scott's been reminding us through his sermons these last few months, we look to Christ for hope and for enduring faith. And so when they see that in us, that even when they see us anxious and, you know, maybe angry or grieving, that we turn to Christ, that helps them to see where they should turn during these times as well. It'll be a good model for them.
Yeah, good. So two pieces of help that I have heard from counselors on how to deal with anxiety. So one is for you personally as a parent, and one is for you as a parent in terms of helping your children.
Right.
So the first thing is, let's say that you're, imagine for a moment, Jason, that you're a dad who is now having to work at your house.
In a closet. In an ill-fitting desk.
That's right. Imagine, just put your mind there as if that were the case.
In a pink chair. I'll just tell you, Josh, my chair is pink.
Pink chair. Yes. So now you're working at home, and you may have, you know, like anxiety, difficult phone calls, uncertainty about the future, you know, that kind of thing. And you're dealing with that this whole time that you're working in the closet. And then you have to walk out immediately, you know, like, you know, before we could drive home and there's some decompression that happens. And there's some separation that happens from what you're doing because you're physically removed from your workspace. But now your workspace is at home and now you've got to immediately walk out and suddenly be dad.
Yeah.
And so the thing that I've been told by counselors that helps is this thing that they call a separation ritual. I think those of us who normally commute to work have a built-in sort of separation ritual in that you get in your car, you put on some music or a podcast or talk radio or whatever it is that you listen to.
Yep.
And now you are beginning to remove yourself from what you've been working with, hopefully. Mm-hmm. And then when you get home, you can be in a new state.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, something like prayer is going to help you.
Sure.
Reminding yourself, okay, I'm going to give my family everything that I've got right now. That's a that's a good separation ritual.
Mm-hmm.
But you may have to create something like that for yourself at home in the meantime while you're waiting to go back to work.
Yeah.
And so that might be something like the counselor that I first heard with this advice said that she would come home and she would change her clothes and changing out of her work clothes and into something a little more comfortable would be what she did. Now, of course, working from home, we're all working in our pajamas right now anyway, right?
So do you put on more formal clothes?
That's right. Yeah, there you go. That's what you do. It could be that you go for a walk.
Yeah.
It could be that you say a prayer.
Yeah.
It could be that you do your exercise routine, you know, like after you finish work, you do your exercise routine and then you come back.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, it could be anything like that, but something that separates what you're doing there and then that allows you to come in. The other thing that I've heard for children in terms of discussing anxiety and things like that is that you create a space.